But when we hear our Lord Jesus repeating himself over and over again, that's a good sign that what he's saying is pretty important. So did you catch the central message of today's gospel he kept repeating? In the span of merely 5 verses, Jesus said some form of the word watch 4 times, right? Be watchful, be on the watch, watch therefore, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Do you think Jesus is trying to tell us something? The Lord wants us to be alert, to be vigilant for his coming, because that coming time will come when we least expect it, right? And so the church begins her new liturgical year with this clarion call of Advent to be watchful, to be ever attentive to his definitive coming at the consummation of time and history. Yes, as we celebrated last week with Christ the King, when Jesus will come on the throne, seated at that throne at the last judgment, but also to be ever attentive and ready when it's our own personal time of judgment, when that comes at the end of our life, which may also come like a thief in the night. So may that day be for each of us not a day of dread because of our not heeding God and his commandments, but may it be a day of great joy because we have arrived at that long anticipated day when we will be fully united with him who is the desire of our hearts. United with him who is the fulfillment of all desire, who is the source of all that is good, true, and beautiful in our life. Is that the kind of deep desire and yearning that we have for the Lord and his return? If not, Advent is the season to cultivate that longing in our life. It's kind of hard with all the, you know, consumerism and commercialism of this season. But that's what the church gives us this Advent season for, to cultivate that longing in our life, to not only be ready, but to yearn for the Lord's coming, to want it like Isaiah wanted it in that first reading, to desire that he come to make things right and to bring to fulfillment the victory of faith, hope, and love. The other clarion call of Advent is Maranatha Yeshua. Come, Lord Jesus. Come already. All right? This past Friday, I turned 45, and I thought, wow, I've lived half my life, assuming if I'm lucky and I reach the age of 90 and start, you know, living a lot healthier than I have at this point as far as my physical health. But then in prayer, I thought about the funerals I've done and, you know, how the life of the deceased was a lot shorter than they expected. And I thought, am I living my life so that I'm ready to go whenever the good Lord calls me? Am I watchful? This is a good segue to what I mentioned last Sunday, that this Sunday would build upon last week's homily. All throughout the Diocese of Lansing, parishes used the Feast of Christ the King last Sunday to launch our evangelization plan this upcoming year with the theme, Grow and Go. The best way for us to be watchful, to be ever attentive and ready, is for us to be intentional and dedicated about continually growing in our faith and deepening our relationship with the Lord. To that end, parishes have been making sure that everyone of the faithful in the Diocese of Lansing gets one of these Grow and Go pamphlets in our hands. So I'd like everyone to grab one of these right now and a pen, because I'd like to help you guide you through it. They should be either in the middle of slot of your hymnal racks or at the end of your pews. Please offer one to anyone who can't reach a pamphlet themselves. Also, please offer a pen to anyone who can't reach one. And please take the time to do that now so that everyone has a pamphlet in hand. All right? Now, if you open the pamphlet, you'll notice there are 2 sides to this pamphlet. One side is how to intentionally grow in your faith, and the other is how to intentionally go about fulfilling Christ's command to go and make disciples of all nations. Some people feel like, how do I even share the gospel? You know, my loved one is far away. I've been praying for him. What else can I do, Lord? Well, here we go. Here's your answer, right? So last Sunday, I asked you to pray about how you would answer the 4 questions on that left-hand side. So now I invite you to actually fill in your responses. each of the four questions with the four components that are present, deal with the four components that are present in the life of an intentional disciple of Jesus. The first component, of course, is prayer. When in your day will you commit to pray? Right? We have to be specific in identifying both the time of day and the place, a quiet place, that we want to have our daily connection with God, even if it's only 5 to 10 minutes. Right? Father Brian and I have, thankfully, a chapel in the rectory that we always go to. That's our Mount Horeb, right? The second component that is present in a disciple of Jesus Christ is study, to study the faith. What can you study, read, or attend in order to learn about your faith this week? To be ever attentive and watchful. We should be really doing something to grow in our knowledge and practice of the faith every week. That helps us keep our focus, helps us keep sharp. So this is where, you know, all our faith formation events come in. We have Catholicism 101 every Wednesday night. We also have that parish subscription to formed.org, F-O-R-M-E-D.org. We'll put the parish access code in the bulletin next weekend once again. That subscription gets us access to all kinds of engaging ways to grow in our faith. There's great videos there from all the top speakers, so many top speakers and presenters of our Catholic faith. Movies both for adults and kids so that you can make faith formation a family affair. Talks that you can download onto your phone so that you can play them during your commute times to and from work. So these things, these various ways allow you to fit in your faith formation time into your current schedule. You know, Good Shepherd Catholic Radio 93.3 is good for that as well, right? So in answering number three on this, what of those options have you that you just heard is most conducive to your learning or most interests you in doing weekly? The third component that is present in a disciple of Jesus Christ is engaging in community, right? We need one another's support. How can you become more involved in your parish? For this one, I'm going to offer to you an even more fundamental suggestion. You know, Jesus Christ said to his followers, us followers, love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. Well, it's difficult to love one another in our Christian community here if we don't know each other's names, right? We don't even know each other's names. So my very basic suggestion on how to fill out number three is to simply begin introducing yourself to the people around you and get familiar with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I know a number of parishes in our diocese take the time at the start of each Mass to introduce yourself to one another, but you could also do that after the recessional song, right? Other parishes have name tag Sunday each month, once a month, so that when they give the sign of peace, they can say, hey, the peace of Christ be with you, Joe, or Christ's peace be with you, Susie, right? And then the fourth component that is present in a disciple of Christ is mission, right? How are we to serve? How can you volunteer to, what can you volunteer to do maybe on a monthly basis that will help those in need? Whether physical need or spiritual need, right? Our Christian service group headed up by Barb Soce gives us a number of ideas throughout the year. So one way to answer number four there is simply taking part in whatever initiative Christian service has going during that time of year. For example, this month it's the Christmas giving tree. We also have our St. Vincent de Paul Society that helps the poor and the needy. So now, as the first sentence of that left side states, the purpose of your life is to grow continually in intimate relationship with God. But along with life's purpose, that's life's purpose. What's life's mission? Along with life's purpose comes life's mission. And our mission is on that right side, the mission to go out into the world that desperately needs God's healing and salvation and unity. In the Great Commission, Jesus wants to utilize us to reach others and help them, help bring them to himself. You are Christ's ambassadors, as St. Paul would put it, his legates by which people are drawn to the font of life here in God's house, where they receive Jesus in the sacramental life of the church. So this is where the go part of the grow and go comes in, right? Back in October of 2016, 13 months ago, right here after the diocesan assembly, Father Brian and I asked you to come up with names of a couple of loved ones in your life, people for whom you deeply care, but they have fallen away from their Catholic faith and may be far from God, but could really use them, right? This year, we encourage you to simply focus on one person. One person. Focus on that one loved one and write their name or initials right there underneath the first question on the right side. Name or initials. The right side of this visual here lists the four pillars of evangelization, and it's also on that visual right there, right? And prayer is the first pillar. But there are three other essential ways to evangelize. You know, some people ask, well, how do I share the gospel in a practical way? I'm not the type to go on a corner and, you know, wave the Bible around. No, we evangelize like Catholics in a more holistic way. We pray, number one. Number two, we witness. Number three, we invite. And number four, we accompany. And we already mentioned last week how important number two is, the witness of our lives. It's what makes saints so captivating and attractive that they can fill football stadiums like the simple, humble priest, you know, Father Solanus Casey did. But witness doesn't stop just at our holiness of life. Witness also involves sharing that difference that God has made in your life. This is where giving your testimony comes in, your personal story of your journey of faith. And a testimony, very simple. He's like, how do I write a testimony? Well, three basic elements. You could do, some people call it the 3-minute elevator talk. Like, would you be able to share, you know, your testimony in 3 minutes in an elevator with someone? Number one, where were you before you really knew God? Oh gosh, I was really struggling. I was just, you know, in a morally bad place, etc. Number two, the way God reached you or how you encountered the Lord and or experienced his Holy Spirit. God broke in a powerful way through the Eucharistic adoration or what it might be. Number three, how your life changed after that encounter. How your outlook in life changed as a result of God now being the center of your life, right? New fresh outlook, new life, you know, etc. So this is why it's important and helpful to be in maybe like a small men's or women's group, because it gives you a comfort level in talking, discussing things of faith. Because maybe you don't have a comfort level in discussing things of faith. And to do so in a group of other folks helps us to get that comfort level. So maybe an answer to number three is to write a brief testimony about God's action in your life. Right? Or maybe begin a prayer journal in which you write one sentence each day about how you've been inspired by the Lord. Sharing that witness with your friend or loved one will then hopefully open their hearts for them to consider that next invitation, right? The third pillar, that next invitation you give them to an event at the parish or like a diocesan event, like the men's or women's conferences that help facilitate their own encounter with God. Right? That's the key to invitation, is getting them it's so crazy and distracted out there that nobody ever has a chance to hear the voice of God. And so we need to get them in a place where they will be focused on being open to the call of God, the whisper of God, right? So for question number four, remember again that Mass may not necessarily be the best first event to invite them. That's why we offer Alpha and those conferences. And we're looking to offer Alpha again in January. You can read the bulletin regularly for ideas for events to which to invite them. Finally, the last question, number five, covers the fourth and last pillar of evangelization. How could you accompany him or her? Accompaniment simply means being for that person in their journey of faith and their journey of life, right? Maybe it's helping them through a hard time by being a listening ear or a helping hand. Accompaniment is not just inviting them to something, but actually offering to go with them or pick them up for that faith formation event. Maybe it's being their sponsor for RCAA if they're not Catholic yet, fully Catholic, right? So in conclusion, and to bring us full circle, Jesus wants you and me and the people we love to be watchful, to be ever attentive for his coming. Will we step out of our comfort zone? Will we step out of our indifference and commit ourselves to being watchful and ready by growing and going, growing in our faith and going out and making disciples?